WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The TV series The Addams Family lasted only 2 seasons, but it made a lasting impression on a lot of baby boomers. This perverse family of nonconformists is back in the new movie The Addams Family, with Angelica Houston as Morticia Addams and Raul Julia as her husband Gomez. The Addams Family is the first feature film directed by my guest Barry Sonnenfeld. He's already well known as a cinematographer. He shot the films Big, Misery, When Harry Met Sally, Raising Arizona, Miller's Crossing, and Blood Simple. Sonnenfeld was a fan of the Addams Family TV show and its bizarre video cousin, the Munsters, but he first came across the Addams Family in cartoons drawn by Charles Addams in the New Yorker magazine, required reading, he says, for a young Jewish boy growing up on Manhattan's Upper West Side. I wanted to know if the director of the Addams Family thought of his own family as normal.
My family was definitely not normal, which is why I think I was a good choice to direct the Addams Family. I was an only child in a very overprotected home. So, for instance, my mother threatened to commit suicide if I went away to college. So I spent 3 years living at home attending New York University, and then they had a separate campus in the Bronx, and when I was about to be a senior at NYU, NYU sold the campus, and I refused to go downtown to the downtown school, and it dawned on me that if I applied to colleges out of town, the worst that would happen was that I would be able to go away to college after all, and the best that would happen is I could kill two birds with one stone, and my mother would commit suicide as well. So it turned out that I applied to Hampshire College in Amherst, Massachusetts, was accepted, and my mother didn't commit suicide. In fact, both of my parents are presently alive, dreading every interview I ever give. But my background is sort of, my parents were sort of theatrical in both their personal lives and what they did as living. My dad is a lighting salesman and used to invest in failed Broadway shows. I remember their big hope was investing in a show called Bravo Giovanni that lasted about 10 performances. And so I grew up sort of in a world with artists and theatrical types and all that.
And flamboyant, neurotic people.
Yes, exactly. And in fact, I've read several interviews and stories where they talk about the Addams Family being a dysfunctional family, and I must say that's exactly the opposite of what I intended. I think the Addams Family are truly, as portrayed in our movie, the perfect family. The parents allow their children to sort of grow in their own way. They don't dictate any rules to the kids. And the husband and wife show tremendous love and affection towards each other. I truly think the Addams Family is a perfect family whose mores are slightly different than a lot of others.
Now, how did you end up making your directorial debut on such a big budget film? I think most people start smaller.
Yes. Well, the way I got the job was by turning it down several times. I think in almost any profession, the more you turn a job down, the more people want you to do it. So when I originally was given the script to the Addams Family as Tarita's potential director, I felt it was too jokey and too much like the television show, so I kept saying no. And the more I said no, the more Orion and the producer, Scott Rudin, wanted me to do it. Convincing me that we would, over the next 5 months, make the script better, funnier, more romantic, which we did. I also think I was hired by Orion Pictures, who started the production, because I seemed to be a nice boy. I sort of am adorable and charming, and I think the people at Orion just sort of liked me. And they also didn't think they were going to make a $30 million movie. At the time.
What did they think it was going to cost?
I think when we first talked about making the movie, they thought they would make a sort of a low to medium budget, $15 to $20 million film. and would therefore take a chance on a first-time director. As we made the script bigger and started to design sets, we convinced them to put more and more money into it. And by the time we started production, our budget was more like $25 or $26 million. But by then, the ball was rolling and there was no stopping us.
I think the scene I like best in the movie is a scene I believe that you actually wrote, and it's the high school play scene.
Yes, it's my favorite scene. I wanted to take the film outside the house and show the Addams family surrounded by what we would call normal people. So I thought it would be great to have Pugsley and Wednesday, the two children, do their version of a scene from Hamlet, which is, of course, the bloodiest version anyone's ever seen. Although it's not in any way gory, which is why I like the scene so much. In certain ways, we borrowed certain images from the Mel Brooks movie, The Producers. There's a scene in The Producers where they put on a Broadway musical called Springtime for Hitler. And at the very end of the scene, you cut to the audience and they're like an oil painting. They're just frozen in shock. And I sort of recreated that as the after Pugsley and Wednesday hack off each other's limbs, spewing blood all over the stage floor, we cut to the audience, which is dead, frozen, silent, except for the members of the Addams family who stand up and applaud. And it's a scene I really love because I think it's very true to the Charles Addams drawings and Charles Addams's sort of unusual vision of life.
Now, would you have been a kid like this who might have, in a high school play, created a scene with enormous amounts of special effects blood that would splatter all over the audience?
No, I was not in any way physically adept growing up. I was more of an intellectual. I was very thin. In fact, my parents would force me to go to Jones Beach during the summer, which is the big beach on Long Island, and while my parents would go to the beach because they wouldn't leave me home alone because I was like 14 or 15, you know, they would go to the beach. But I was so thin and physically awkward that I would stay in the parking lot in the car with the windows closed because I was also afraid of bees. But I still wanted to meet girls, so I always brought de Tocqueville's Democracy in America.
Oh, that's a good one to pick up girls.
I thought
yeah.
So. I imagine, you know, a girl with granny glasses and a peasant blouse sort of walking by saying, de Tocqueville? But it never happened.
You should write your memoirs.
My mother's afraid I will.
What are some of the most difficult decisions that you had to make as a director on the Addams Family? Decisions that you thought you might lose your mind over?
Well, see, here's what happens. You have all these great ideas when you're starting a movie about how you'll shoot certain scenes and how this scene will blend into this scene and what you're trying to state in this scene. And by the end of the first day, you just say, just if I can press a button and be done with this movie and it will just be ordinary and bland, let me press that button. Show me where that button is. Every day is a day of compromises because you find out that to do a shot the way you want to, the cameraman needs 4 hours to light it instead of 1 hour. So you say, okay, well, we'll do this instead. But then you didn't call Wednesday in at that time, so she's not on the set, so you can't do that shot. So you say, okay, we'll do something. So every day is just a terrible series of compromises. I remember when Orion was running out of money because the studio was in financial difficulty, I got a call one day from them saying, the set you're going to shoot at tomorrow, you can paint the pillars, but none of the walls.
Why?
Well, you know, the additional cost of paint.
Oh, God.
It had gotten that sort of scary. So for a while, we thought the movie was not going to be finished or released.
Well, I read that during a budget meeting with a production executive, you actually fainted.
Actually, if only it was in a calm situation like at a budget meeting. We were on the set, and I was filming the movie. And the previous day, we had done a shot. The last shot of the day was a shot with Thing running down the hallway to answer the door. It's a wonderful shot, but it took 6 hours to light.
Thing is just a hand.
thing is a disembodied hand, sort of their pet. In fact, we had a lot of debates whether Thing was a hand that used to exist on someone or if Thing was an entity unto itself, and decided Thing was always a hand, was born a hand, and never existed as part of an arm. So anyway, it took 6 hours to shoot this scene with Thing running down the hallway, and as I was leaving, I realized I had made a terrible mistake and should have let Thing leave frame. But I didn't, so the whole way home, I'm thinking, how do I get to the next shot? How do I physically cut into the next shot? I couldn't figure it out. I spent the whole night thinking about it, and at 5:30 in the morning, I figured out what to do. Unfortunately, I had to get up and go to work, so I hadn't slept all that night and decided the way to stay awake was to drink many cappuccinos. So I was standing there talking to the Orion production representative about insurance claims when directors and actors sort of get sick. And the next thing I knew, I felt my chest expand, and I said to myself, I better sit down. And then I said to myself, I better sit down right here on the floor. And then I remember someone saying, get a blanket, get a blanket. So we shut down after I was weeping hysterically, saying, this is so unmanly. And I said, you know, if we shut down every time I faint, we'll never get through this movie. But the good thing about it was, because I got the day off and had to go home and lie in bed, I discovered that Graham Kerr had a new cooking show. I had grown up watching The Galloping Gourmet. So it was great to turn on a TV and see this new cooking show. I was very disappointed, though, because he was someone who used to drink wine and use a lot of heavy cream, and he's sort of been co-opted. So he was drinking mineral water and cooking light dishes.
So was this the first time you ever fainted?
Yes. In fact, until I fainted, I never believed that anyone really fainted. I believed it was a scam, and there was no such thing as fainting. I didn't accept that as a physical reality.
Go ahead.
But now I do.
Did you feel like you were in a movie? Because that's where I've seen people faint all the time, is in movies.
Exactly. I always thought that's the only time anyone fainted also. The entire experience of making The Addams Family was very surreal, and I felt throughout the making of the movie that I was in my own kind of horrific movie.
Did you have to screen The Addams Family for test audiences?
Yes, it's a very disconcerting thing to do. What's good about it? The whole screening process is a very interesting process. What's good about it is you get to sit in a room before you've committed to finishing the movie with 300 people and hear where they're shifting in their seats, where they're coughing, where they're laughing, where they're enjoying it, where it seems boring or slow, and you pick up on that instantly. And that's the good part of screening, and I really enjoyed it. The part that's really kind of horrific is that they then have a former pollster from the Lou Harris Organization hand out these cards and ask the audience to fill them out. How would you rate the movie? Good, bad, poor, very good, excellent. And the questions get very specific. And where it gets a little bit disconcerting is the studio executives sort of use these cards as sort of, they can use them as sort of weapons, where they'll say, 72 people didn't like Fester in that scene. There were several meetings I had with Paramount executives where they would say to me, Barry, don't worry about us sort of controlling the process and all that, because we don't really have final cut. And I would say, well, I don't have final cut. The producer doesn't have final cut. Who has final cut? And they would smile and say, the audience. And it's sort of a scary way to make movies.
My guest is Barry Sonnenfeld, the director of the new film, The Addams Family. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, my guest is Barry Sonnenfeld. He made his directorial debut with the new film, The Addams Family. He's also a cinematographer, and the films that he shot include Blood Simple, Miller's Crossing, Raising Arizona, Big, Misery, and When Harry Met Sally. Now that you've finished making The Addams Family, do you want to continue as a director, or would you like to go back to cinematography?
It's funny, while I was making The Addams Family, I vowed I would never, ever, ever direct another movie again. But I believe that it's probably not unlike a woman in labor, that probably she vows she'll never have another child again. This is too painful. And then somehow the mind lets you forget the pain. So now I'm very excited about directing again and don't think I'll go back to shooting. I do direct and shoot commercials.
To make money?
Yes. Commercials are great things because they have a beginning and a middle and an end that's 2 or 3 weeks instead of 18 months. They're incredibly lucrative. They allow me to continue to live at home with my wife and stepchildren. And they also oftentimes are visually much more interesting than feature films. And so they're exciting artistically to work on.
What do you do, Nike and Reebok?
I've done Nike and Reebok commercials. I won a Clio a couple of years ago for a Nike commercial I did that was shot entirely from the point of view of a dog.
The directors you've worked with the most are Rob Reiner and the Coen brothers. Have you ever refused to do a shot because it made no sense to you?
I used to tell the directors I work with that I'm merely a vessel, that whatever they want me to do, I'll do. I never viewed myself as a cameraman so much as a friend of the filmmaker. So I would often get into discussions about acting or camera placement or, you know, script. And I just happened to be good at lighting and designing shots. But I viewed myself more as a fellow filmmaker than as a cinematographer. I remember once I made the mistake of telling Joel I didn't think a shot would work. And I realized that it just puts the director's hair up, you know, and ever since then I try to do what they want me to do. I try to convince them out of it, but I'll never say this won't work. And having directed a movie, I've learned all the things a director really wants from a cameraman. And in fact, as a director, I became sort of all the things a cameraman wouldn't want from a director. For instance, directors love zoom lenses because they're fast, they let you change the frame very quickly, you can get more shots during a day. But cameramen don't like zoom lenses. They prefer to dolly or move the entire camera than to just zoom in on a lens. But it's much more time consuming. So as a cameraman, whenever a director would say, well, let's zoom in here, I'd always say, no, we should lay some dolly track, we'll take 10 minutes, it'll be more beautiful. And the day I became a director, I was saying, no, don't worry, we'll just zoom in here, it'll be fine. Because what directors want is just coverage, is more angles, is whatever accommodates the actors. And you sort of, it's a very different hat. And I was able to lose the whole camera work aspect of it immediately. The other thing that happened to me as a director, which is kind of amusing, is that as a cinematographer, I always, when we timed the movie, which is correct the color and decide on the brightness before it is printed, cameramen always like things very dark. And as a cameraman, I was always saying to Rob Reiner or the Coens, oh, this scene should be darker, this scene should be darker. And when I went to time the Addams Family movie as a director, I was always saying, we better lighten this scene up. It's a comedy. Let's make it brighter. And I was with my wife and the editor of The Addams Family, Dee Dee Allen, and they couldn't believe it was the same Barry Sonnenfeld that they knew as a cameraman.
Were you a film nut as a kid? Did you watch as many movies as you could get to?
No, I'm actually a film illiterate. I think I've only seen the joke on the set of The Addams Family was the only movie I had ever seen was Dr. Strangelove, which I've seen about 300 times. Growing up, I was anything but a film buff. I never went to the movies. I thought that movies sort of gave you a distorted sense of romance. I thought that, you know, also, if you weren't going to movie was sort of a beautiful blonde woman, it meant that you were a loser. And I still hadn't met anyone, you know, sitting in the car waiting at Jones Beach. So I didn't go to movies at all. I was not a movie buff. And the only reason I went to NYU graduate film school was truly a lack of anything to do, and figuring if I went to film school, it meant I was out of the workplace for 3 more years. I was very interested in still photography. I had my own darkroom and a Leica and spent a lot of time taking still photographs. But movies didn't interest me at all.
So when did they start to interest you?
I guess sometime at NYU graduate film school.
Why'd you go to film school in the first place?
Because I couldn't get a job and didn't know what I was going to do. You know, I had graduated from NYU with a political science degree, which wasn't going to get you anywhere. Spent a year off working at a lab in New York called Frenchie's Color Lab, where we would make pictures for the Marlboro ads. And I was the guy in charge of mixing chemicals, and it dawned on me that they would only let me mix chemicals at lunch when everyone else left the premises, that maybe this was not a healthy thing. So I quit Frenchie's and really, just as a whim, applied to film school. I've been very lucky that way. Whims tend to work out. You know, I was not looking to become a director. I got a call one day from an agent saying, you should be directing and I can get you work. So I signed on with him. And within 6 months, he had gotten me The Addams Family. So I just sort of wander through life looking for places to take a nap. And things sort of come my way. Napping, by the way, I highly recommend. There's not enough of it.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you. I enjoy your show very much.
Oh, thanks. My guest has been Barry Sonnenfeld. He directed The Addams Family. And as a cinematographer, he shot Miller's Crossing, Blood Simple, Big, Misery, and Raising Arizona. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.